D is with us today, Marlima Davidson, co-leader of the Greens. Thank you for joining us, Marlima. Tēnā koe.
Morena Dale, kia ora.
Big policy announcement for marae. And when I read it, I thought, yeah, this is more like it. Some might say it's a wish list, but hey, it's a front line kaupapa for the Greens. You must be tremendously proud. Explain what your thinking is, what this policy is for those unfamiliar, please, Marlima.
Firstly, an acknowledgement to the people of Whakapara, Ngāti Hau, Ngāti Wai, up in the north of Whangarei, where we announced this policy yesterday. Dale, Huhana Linden packed the house out for us to announce this policy, Te Wao Nui Atani. Dale, it is a marae resilience policy because when marae are strong, communities are stronger. So this policy recognises and resources marae for the work that they have been doing for generations and generations to keep our communities connected and safe for all of us.
Step it out, please, because it's a substantial spend. And if you come into the opportunity for a coalition arrangement, would this be one of your bottom lines? I read a figure, was it 2.4 bill?
Yes. So we are really proud. Gosh, I want this particular policy so much, Dale. I want this for our communities. This is a priority for the Greens. With the support and the mandate of the people, of the voters, we will be able to get this policy across the line. And it is just smart investment. So the Greens will invest $2.44 billion to create a trust, which will be led by Māori. And $2 billion of that will be a seed fund into intergenerational investment. That will go into an investment fund, which over time, around 4 years or so, will generate and return enough for about, say, $100 million a year just on returns to be distributed on an annual basis to marae. And that will also leave the core seed funding to be able to grow, integrate, be able to build a capital asset base for marae across the country. But we know that there are urgent priorities too, Dale, for marae. So $400 million will be allocated for immediate and urgent projects over 4 years. And Dale, the important thing here is the decisions, the distribution will build on the models like whānau order commissioning, but those decisions will be made at the local and regional level because communities know best what community needs. It will not be a fund that is interrupted by political cycles of three-year election cycles. It will not be able to be tutu'd with by a government because they have a whimsy and they want to find instead $3 billion for landlord tax cuts. So it is protected in ongoing funding, as well as urgent funding of $400 million for things like restoring marae buildings, fixing infrastructure of marae, which is often failing and old, strengthening emergency preparedness, improving climate resilience and adaptation, supporting building the capability of marae in communities, cultural restoration, all sorts of manners of things that can be invested in immediately. But the intergenerational fund, which will grow over time, could include renewable energy and climate transition projects, investment in Māori land, housing, marae housing and regional development, Māori enterprise, business growth, jobs, and emerging industries and technologies. I'm so proud of this, Dale. It's such a beautiful policy that all of our communities would benefit from.
Well, you don't find disagreement in this direction, but I'm picking that you will from others. All right, so we know that the Greens policy is for all of us, and in that sense, this is appropriate because going forward, we see our marae for all of us. But others will be listening to the news or the tunnel for such an amount of money and say, hey, why would we be watching $2.4 billion go into the hands of Māori? Because they don't see marae as for them. Do you know what I'm saying here? You know, they think marae are Māori, and there's a big part of our population who don't see them as being supporters of the wider community as perhaps you and I do. How are you going to sell this, if you will, to them?
Well, one thing to be clear of, Dale, is that when we invest in community well-being, that is a wise and generational investment for everyone. So even if this investment is just about uplifting and removing the inequities experienced by Māori, that in itself is a good reason. It should be collectively clear that when we fix up the inequities and the injustices faced by any community experiencing hardship, that is good for the collective, for all of us. But actually, Dale, marae have been opening their doors to everyone for generations. In 1918, Te Puia, Princess Te Puia Herangi recognised that so many whānau were orphaned by the influenza pandemic that wiped out entire communities. She built marae, Ngā Rawahia, to be able to take in orphan whānau, sick whānau, and care for them. 100 years later, not far from you are, and including the very marae that you are at, Dale, Te Puia Marae in Māngere made news across the world and across the country for opening its doors in 2018, 100 years later, to look after families who were impacted by the homelessness crisis. Families of all backgrounds, Dale. They have to date helped hundreds and hundreds of families to find housing and social services and support. It was so effective that government agencies relocated to be on site at Te Puia Marae because they could see that when the marae is accountable to its community, it gets the work done faster and better. This is one of hundreds and thousands of examples, Dale, around the country. And we also know that as the climate crisis worsens, it's marae are the first to step up when the roads are closed and broken. Marae are open and welcoming. Takahanga marae in Kaikoura in 2016 fed 10,000 meals in 1 week as part of the emergency response. Then again in 2018 and 2026 flooding. Who was it that stepped up first and opened its doors to stranded tourists, to civil defence emergency workers, to locals? It's marae. It was Takahanga. It was Omahu and Hawke's Bay. Wātea Marae has been delivering social services and support for all people forever. We know that this is just a smart investment, and we are really proud of it, Dale.
And it sounds like a good goer to me as well. We love that you whakamana our marae for the role that they play for all who call this land home now. So it makes some sense. Will you need some political support as well from other parties? Should you get the numbers and form a left bloc coalition and oust this right-wing mob? Have you had cause to discuss it with potential partners, or is this an initiative on your own?
Well, you got your fellow's very own Willie Jackson of Wātea Marae, who on TVNZ News yesterday said this is a no-brainer. Te Pāti Māori absolutely fully in support. The biggest political mandate, though, Dale, comes from you all, the people, your listeners, your voters. That's where the biggest political mandate comes from. Politicians don't get to rule in or out these policies. This is a hard priority for us, Dale. I love this policy with all my blinking heart. I want this for our communities, for our marae. I want our marae to be able to support people better, which they have been doing on the smell of an oily rag. But imagine what marae and communities could do if they were recognised and resourced to do the work that they're already blinking doing. So that's where the political mandate can come from, Dale. That's the good news, because our voters collectively get to decide if this policy gets across the bridge, across the table. And we've already seen good support from both Labor and Te Pāti Māori. So we're on a good start already, Dale.
Tēnā koe. I will be very interested to see how it progresses through, and I can sense your pride in having announced it as a policy for the Greens going forward. We've got a few minutes. A bit of a curveball from the Prime Minister, some say scrambling for relevance, but he did mention a referendum, and we know that often these aren't beneficial for our people, Marama, on MMP. Now, 30 years on, MMP, FPP, which is the best of two models for your read, please, Marama?
MMP for our listeners is the model of voting, of government, I suppose, of elections that allows people to have representation. MMP means that the smaller parties than the two legacy parties, smaller parties get to be represented. Now, what I ask our listeners now, over successive governments of national-led or Labor-led governments, which are, you know, the choices that we've seen, they have only tinkered around the edges, Dale. They haven't been transformational, when what our communities and our environment need right now are transformational, brave, courageous shifts that are also just common sense. We saw under both governments, actually, further alienation of Māori land, further rates of poverty. So MMP will allow for us to actually say these two legacy parties, they haven't used their levers in a way that properly benefits people and planet. We can do better than that. But mainly, Dale, there's an easier way to sack Winston Peters. You know, that's my message to Christopher Luxon, who is very desperate right now, who is very desperate and showing how desperate he is by making policy up off the hoof without the agreement of his caucus to have an MMP referendum, because that's how desperate he's feeling. He can't stand up to Winston Peters. So instead, he's trying to overhaul a massive transformation of the electoral cycle that will dim out the diversity of our political solutions. I say, jeepers, just get on with the job, be an actual leader, stand up to the bullying racist actions of Winston Peters, and, you know, maybe get some guts.
And I thank you for your thoughts and time, as always, on a Monday morning. Mauri ora kia koe tuhine. Thanks so much for joining us, Marama.
Ngā mihi, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Thank you to Marama Davidson.